Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 54 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
When you look at those kind of cuts, that equates to about 20 jobs for us.
Outgoing Superintendent Marvin Moore says Rowan County Schools will probably have to cut jobs if the governor's proposed budget is approved.
Moorhead Representative Rocky Adkins says he does not support a bill that would consolidate counties and school districts in the Commonwealth.
And the National Weather Service is forecasting three winter weather systems in the upcoming days.
In sports, the Rowan County basketball girls are facing off against Menifee County tonight.
Bud Luke brings us the stock report.
Mostly cloudy tonight with lows around 42. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A Floyd County man is pleading guilty to child pornography charges. EKB News reports 31-year-old Joshua Lawson of Evel is facing one count of producing child pornography and two counts of distribution. He admitted to taking a nude picture of a girl younger than 12 in October. He also admitted to sending pictures of other children to someone who turned out to be an undercover officer. Lawson faces up to 30 years in prison for the production charge and up to 20 years for distribution. He's scheduled for sentencing in May.
An Ashland man pled guilty yesterday to sex trafficking. WSAZ reports that David Young faces 15 years to life in prison when he is sentenced on May 1st. He must also register as a sex offender. Investigators say Young conspired with a woman to obtain a child under the age of 14 for sexual relations. That woman, Misty Basden, faces up to life in prison after pleading guilty to conspiracy to sex trafficking of a minor.
The Fayette County District Court has dismissed animal neglect charges against a Lexington horse farm owner. WKYT reports the case against Trace De La Force was dismissed yesterday with prejudice, meaning charges cannot be filed again on the same claim. Animal Care and Control took several horses from De La Force's farm in April of 2017. Workers cared for the animals as the case moved throughout the court.
A Greenup County robbery suspect was one of 26 people indicted by a grand jury last week. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, David Dameron of South Point is charged with second-degree robbery, first-degree fleeing police, first-degree want on endangerment, and theft. The indictment alleges Dameron caused physical injury while committing a theft at Lowe's. He then apparently fled the scene in a vehicle, disobeying a police officer's orders. Dameron is logged in the Greenup County Detention Center.
A Mason County man has been indicted on several charges after attempting to escape from a police officer. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, Bradley Nichols faces charges of wanton endangerment, DUI, possession of a controlled substance, and being a persistent felony offender. Nichols had cut his ankle monitor and had active warrants when an officer approached him at the Maysville Walmart in November. Nichols sped away in a vehicle, nearly hitting a pedestrian. The officer fired shots at Nichols' tires. The shooting was later deemed justified. Nichols was apprehended and lodged in the Mason County Detention Center, where he remains.
Kentucky's Secretary of State says the hundreds of people who will be on this year's ballot include a record number of women running for seats in the state legislature. Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes says her office accepted paperwork from more than 550 candidates running for various offices on the May 22nd primary election ballot. Grimes says more than 1,000 candidates filed for local offices across the state's 120 counties. The candidate filing deadline was Tuesday. Grimes says more than 200 candidates are running for Kentucky House of Representatives seats. She says nearly 100 women are running for state legislative offices. 13 seats in the Kentucky House and 2 seats in the state Senate are uncontested. This year's ballot also features races for Kentucky's 6 U.S. House seats.
The filing deadline for Kentucky candidates closed yesterday, and some northeastern Kentucky lawmakers will face challengers in this year's election cycle. Minority floor leader Rocky Adkins will run unopposed in the race for 99th District Representative. The Moorhead Democrat has spent 30 years in the House and is seriously considering a run for governor next year. State Representative Jill York of Grayson and 3 other candidates are running for the 96th District seat that serves Carter and Lawrence counties. According to the Daily Independent, Republican Charles Clark of Grayson will face York on the GOP ticket, while Democrats Kathy Hinkle of Louisa and Brandon Music of Grayson compete for the Democratic primary in this May. State Representative Kevin Sinnott of Ashland did not file to run for re-election in the 100th district seat. Instead, he's running against five other candidates for Kentucky Court of Appeals judge. Democrats Ann Perkins and Terry Branham Clark will face off in the Democratic primary, while Republican Brian Clark is running unopposed for Sinnott's seat. In the state Senate's District 18 race, incumbent Democrat Robin Webb of Grayson will face Democrat Chester Hiley of Rush in the primary, while Republican Scott Sharp of Ashland is running unopposed on the GOP ticket. Kentucky's primary elections will be held on May 22nd.
Four Democrats and one Republican are vying for the top elected office in Rowan County this year. Deputy Judge Executive Lincoln Cottle, Harry Clark, Benjamin Heckman, and Joe Gagliano will face off in the primary May 22nd. Gagliano says because Judge Executive Walter Blevins has decided not to run for office, all the Democratic candidates will start off on an event playing field.
Now there's people that have been involved in the community in certain elected positions, and there's not really an incumbent that you're running against. I think it's time for a change, and hopefully I'm the change.
Former Rowan County jailer Donald Hall is the lone Republican running for the judge executive seat.
President Trump's remark during his State of the Union address that the federal government's war on coal is over came as music to the ears of the head of the Kentucky Coal Association. KCA President Tyler White says the Trump administration has been a friend to coal, specifically by preventing several regulations written by President Obama's EPA that would have further harmed the industry from going into action. White, though, believes even more deregulation is needed in order to help unleash coal's full potential as America's most stable energy source.
We do know that energy has the ability to increase the quality of life for everyone, and we should not artificially stifle one energy source above another. Because at the end of the day, what that will ultimately do is it will hurt not only our competitiveness, but hurt individuals as they try to achieve upward mobility.
White says after a decade-long decline, coal production in Kentucky has started to slowly rise with President Trump in office.
An East Kentucky lawmaker says a proposed bill to consolidate Kentucky counties and school districts is not good for the Commonwealth. Representative Toby Herold introduced House Bills 242 and 243 last week. The first would reduce the number of school districts in the state from 173 to 55. The second would reduce the number of counties in the state from 120 to 55. House Minority Leader Rocky Adkins tells Spectrum News he doesn't believe the bill was well thought out.
You know, some of the toughest battles we've seen in counties and school districts has been consolidation. But when you go to this magnitude of trying to do a mega consolidation the way this bill does, in my opinion, it's a bad bill. It's a bad idea. I believe to move forward on anything like this, you have to have some compromise.
Adkins says many school districts are the heart of the community, and lawmakers should focus on funding, not making huge changes.
An Eastern Kentucky state senator believes legislators won't get to tax reform during their 2018 session. Bourbon County Republican Steve West says they've got so many other key issues to deal with right now that redoing Kentucky's tax codes will have to be tackled later.
In my opinion, you will not see tax reform in this session. It's actually probably a much more complicated question than pensions, which I didn't think that was possible. There's so many stakeholders, so many players in that debate that that's a special session in and of itself. So I would suspect by the end of this full session, we would be, if we got a good budget and a pension reform plan, we would be doing well.
And West says tax reform will be a long and arduous process, and it will likely require a special session for it to get done. He expects Governor Bevin to call for one later this year. According to West, Bevin wanted pension reform to be done before tax reform to determine the best method for getting the money needed to plug the $33 billion hole in the state's public retirement systems.
Rowan counties can likely expect a hike in their local school tax bill if Governor Bevin's proposed two-year state budget proposal is accepted, as is by the legislature. That word comes from retiring Rowan Superintendent Marvin Moore, who says Bevin's planned spending cuts from public education in Kentucky would mean a loss of $1.5 million in funding for his district. He thinks that would almost certainly force the Rowan School Board to raise taxes next year by the maximum of 4%. Moore admits even that move, though, would mitigate the loss of state funding by only so much.
If we raised theirs by 4%, it'd bring in about $370,000. So that didn't equate to the $1.5 million that you're losing. So then you're still going back to programs or personnel because, as I mentioned earlier, 80% of our budget is in personnel. And it'd be devastating to kids to lose the programs we've had.
Much less the 20 jobs the district would have to eliminate if Bevin's budget plan is passed by the legislature.
We'll be right back with local news after this quick break.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, offering a payroll and occupational tax amnesty program through March 31st. A 5% penalty and interest will be waived if delinquent taxes are paid before March 31st. Taxes not paid by the deadline may result in further penalties or legal action. More information on the Rowan County Tax Amnesty Program is available by calling the Rowan County Finance Director at 784-8505.
There's going to be a new tourism attraction that will involve Mason County. WMKY's Tilden Johnson reports.
According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, a new kind of bourbon trail was established and Maysville will play a key part. It's being called Beeline, and it features a collection of about 12 bourbon distilleries, restaurants, wineries, and bars. Beeline was created by the Northern Kentucky Tourism Bureau, Meet NKY. President of Sales Julie Kirkpatrick says there are over 1 million visitors annually on the Bourbon Trail and that a key part of it consists of brands like Jim Beam and Maker's Mark. But Beeline is built off of a new craft bourbon market that is gaining in popularity. Distilleries like New Riff, Boone County, and Old Pogue Distillery in Maysville will be showcased. Unlike the Bourbon Trail, there is no set route for tourists. Instead, it is a group of different establishments they are free to go back and forth between. For more information, visit findyoursippingpoint.com. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Today's warm weather is only a short respite from rain and snow. National Weather Service meteorologist Pete Jogerian says the cold weather will make a return.
Looks like a pretty dynamic pattern setting up for the next week. So we're going to see multiple systems. First one's going to be coming in Thursday into Friday. We got rain. That rain's probably going to change into snow Thursday night and end by early Friday morning. You know, that could give us around a half inch of snow up in the Moorhead area.
Jogerian says another system of winter weather will likely move in Saturday night through Sunday. Continuing on with this week's forecast, for tonight it looks like we're going to have a low of 42. It'll be a pretty clear night. Tomorrow morning we have a 90% chance of rain. Tomorrow night it looks like it'll be more of a 40% chance. Pretty good weather around this area. Friday it'll be sunny with a 40% chance. Saturday, it seems like we're going to have a 10% chance of rain, about 6 mile-an-hour winds. Current temperatures are 53 degrees in Flemingsburg, 53 degrees in Ashland, 55 degrees in Winchester, 53 degrees in Inez, and 53 degrees in Moorhead.
The time is 4:44. You're listening to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Cody Robinson. And we're glad you're with us on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, Moorhead State University is among the few remaining colleges in the country that have yet to implement the Green Dot Violence Prevention Program. But that may soon change, WMKY's Ellen Barnett reports.
Amidst the Me Too movement and in the wake of yet another school shooting, the importance of violence prevention programs cannot be ignored. Josh Akers is a prevention educator for Victim Services. He works with Pathways on Green Dot programs in local high schools. He says implementation of the program at MSU is overdue.
Since the beginning of the 2017-2018 school year, there have been six reported incidents of sexual assault on by more head student, state university students. So it's a problem that's occurring at Morehead State University, and we're very keen to help to try to help do our part to bring that number down to zero.
According to the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, 1 in 5 women and 1 in 16 men will be sexually assaulted while in college. The Green Dot program strives to use research across disciplines in order to provide culturally responsive education and training for violence prevention.
The program focuses around the idea of being an active bystander and other people stepping in when they see somebody else in a situation where they might become a victim of violence.
The Green Dot program aims to nurture inherent human good by addressing social issues at all levels and across the world. Akers explains how the program will begin to be realized at MSU.
Somebody who is familiar with the program comes in and works with different student organizations, different faculty organizations, and so forth to institute the program across campus. We try to get folks that are kind of leaders on campus and get them involved and working with the program so that it kind of disseminates from them into the larger campus community.
The Green Dot program has decreased violence in Kentucky high schools by a statistically significant percentage, according to a study by the CDC published last year in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine.
We're hoping that by the beginning of next semester that we are going to, in large scale, begin talking to first-year students and addressing all of them with the overview of the program and, you know, the ways that they can help make campus safer for everyone by being an active bystander. But we are also going to start with some full-scale training.
Akers says interested individuals can participate in a 6 to 7 hour Green Dot training.
We're also going to give them tools to help them create an atmosphere on campus that says violence is not okay here and everyone is expected to do their part to keep it from happening.
More information about Green Dot can be found at altruistic.org. For WMKY News, I'm Ellen Barnett.
4:48, you're still listening to Mountain Edition, where Braxton Howard brings you a check of sports news right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the city of Morehead, home to Morehead State University, St. Clair Healthcare, Kentucky Folk Arts Center, and Morehead Conference Center. The city of Morehead supports efforts to encourage community livability, economic prosperity, and cultural outreach. Facebook and online at morehead-ky.gov.
A district battle. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Round County girls basketball team will look to stay hot as it visits Menifee County at 7:30. Coach Ed Jones's 12-7 squad has won 7 of its last 8 games, and he believes the Lady Vikings are reaching their preseason goal of being able to compete with the 16th region's top teams.
Doesn't mean, you know, that we're going to be right there with them and in the mix in the regional tournament. What we were looking at, though, is that to us, that's the bar. This year, those 4 teams are the bar, and we wanted to separate ourselves from everybody else below us, and we wanted to become one of those 4 or 5, make us the 5th team. And I think right now we are.
Rounds 3-0 against district opponents, and will face a Menifee club that's 14-7 this year. The regional drawing for the boys and girls state basketball tournament took place today. For the boys, the winner of the 16th region will battle the winner of the 6th region this year. Fern Creek, who is currently ranked as the state's 9th best team, is the favorites to win the 6th region. On the girls' side of things, the 16th region winner will take on the winner of Region 2. Christian County, the state's 24th ranked team, is the favorite out of that region. Boyd County, the 16th region's favorite, is currently ranked as the state's 14th best team. Late Coach Keith Prater was inducted into the Round County Senior High School Alumni Hall of Fame last night. Prater died in July after a short battle with cancer. Misty Prater says her husband's picture hanging in the wall of the school will show their daughters how respected he was.
I know when they come to the school one day and they see his picture, it will be good and a constant reminder that he's always around. At the same time, just not fair that he's not here to see them through.
Prater served as the baseball coach, bowling coach, and a teacher at Round County. The Kentucky basketball team moved to 17-5 on the year with an 83-81 overtime victory against Vanderbilt last night at Rupp Arena. Coming off of Saturday's upset win on the road over number 7 West Virginia, the Wildcats trailed for much of the game last night, going down 5 points with less than 30 seconds to play. Coach John Calipari says he doesn't understand why he isn't getting consistent effort from his team, but does see them getting better each game.
I'm hoping before the year's out that we can land this plane and there's some runway left. But right now, we just have no consistency out of guys, each individual. It's just hard. But I'm happy we won. I don't know how we won this game. I mean, this is one that, you know, I feel for Vandy because they did everything they were supposed to win the game.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander led the way for Kentucky with 30 points and 3 assists. Quade Green's layup with 4 seconds to go gave Kentucky the lead for good. Morehead State's basketball teams will be at Johnson Arena for an OVC doubleheader tomorrow evening against Tennessee State. The women's game starts at 5:15. Despite dealing with key injuries and a lack of depth, Coach Greg Todd is proud of how his Eagles have been able to build on a 16-7 overall record and a 7-3 conference mark.
Really commend our girls. They play very hard every night, and we've had some good focus games on the road, and got to get home now and play against the Nashville crew and Tennessee State and Belmont.
That's the team that the Morehead women will face on Saturday. The MSU men's game with Tennessee State tips off at 7:30. Just 1-12 on the road this season, Coach Preston Spradlin is glad to have his Eagles back at Johnson Arena.
Our crowd is so good for us. They help us. We draw. You know, now that we're getting out on the road and we're seeing all these other teams, that I don't think anyone compares to our fan base and how loyal they are to our kids despite our record. And so that's encouraging. It's fun to go back home and play.
While just 6-15 overall, the MSU men are 5-3 on their home floor. When Super Bowl 52 kicks off on Sunday in Minnesota, it's still a question if the Patriots will have Rob Gronkowski in the game. After suffering a concussion in the conference championship game against Jacksonville 2 weeks ago, Gronkowski has not yet cleared the league's concussion protocol. New England quarterback Tom Brady says getting Gronk back will be a big impact on Sunday's game with the Eagles.
Losing such a great player is hard for any offense. We don't want to do that again, so I'm hoping he's out there, you know, all the time. He's obviously still working his way back, but Gronk is such a great player, great teammate, and we've got so many other guys, though, at receiver, at tight end, at running back that, you know, really did step in when he wasn't out there, but we're going to need him out there this week if we want to play our best.
Gronkowski told reporters he expects to play in Sunday's game, but the final decision will come down to the team doctors. Also from the NFL, Thursday Night Football is changing networks once again. The NFL announced Wednesday morning that the package will go to Fox for the next 5 seasons. The contract, which entitles Fox to broadcast 11 Thursday night games a season, is worth an average of more than $660 million a year. For the past 2 seasons, NBC and CBS had 5 games each at $45 million per game. One member of the Cincinnati Reds can't wait to get started with the 2018 season. Outfielder Adam Duvall believes the Reds will be much improved this year and says many of his teammates feel the same way.
We're coming in healthy this spring, which is a big deal. To get some pitching back, and obviously for the hitters to be healthy and try to stay healthy is important. So, there is a buzz going around. There's, we've got a bunch of young guys that are going to compete for spots, and it's exciting.
Meanwhile, the Reds have signed free agent reliever David Hernandez. The 32-year-old right-hander had an ERA of 3.11 in dividing the 2017 season between the Angels and Diamondbacks. Finally, in sports, the Morehead State softball team is just over a week away from opening up the 2018 season. The Eagles open with a Mercer Invitational in Georgia. Having a few chances to get outside during preseason work, head coach David Williams thinks that will put his team ahead of schedule.
You know, the biggest thing for us as we go into that first weekend with the opponents we have, we might be one of the only teams that has the advantage of getting outside of the teams we play that first weekend. So for us, you know, at this point, just really getting outside as much as we can so we kind of have a leg up, and it's not our first time outdoors and reading fly balls and those types of things.
MSU will battle Central Arkansas, Buffalo, and Appalachian State during the opening weekend, starting with Central Arkansas on February the 9th. At sports for WMKY, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball hosts Tennessee State for a doubleheader tomorrow night. The women's game begins at 5:15 p.m. and the men tip off at 7:30. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. U.S. stocks turned negative after the Federal Reserve's upgraded assessment of the economy sent interest rates higher. And the Dow Industrials, after being well above a 100-point gain on the day, was at 345, was up 66.12 at 26,143.01. The S&P 500 was up 2.63 at 2825.06. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 10.17 at 7412.65. And, of course, all the major indices were much higher before the Fed announcement. And the Fed did leave interest rates unchanged, but said it expects inflation to move up this year and to stabilize around its 2% target. U.S. economic data has been strong lately. The ADP and Moody's Analytics report today said private companies added 234,000 jobs in January. Economists polled going into the report expected a gain of only 185,000. And as mentioned, U.S. Treasury yields rose today after the Fed statement. The benchmark 10-year yield rose to 2.75% before settling back to 2.72%, and the 2-year yield held around 2.15%. Boeing, Lilly, and Anthem were among the latest companies that reported quarterly results. Their earnings and revenues topped analyst expectations. And among Dow industrial stocks, Boeing is actually your best performer today, and Microsoft is the second best performer among Dow stocks. Your worst performing Dow stocks are Johnson & Johnson and Merck. In the S&P 500, the best performers are Electronic Arts and Advanced Micro Devices, and the worst performers were Juniper Networks and Harley-Davidson. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 17 cents at 72.85, CSX down 4 cents at 56.82, AEP up 33 cents at 68.68, AK Steel down 44 cents at 5.05, and Marathon Petroleum was up 44 cents at 69.57. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
The Office of Career Services at Morehead State University works to bring employers and employees together. One event that does this is the Spring Career Fair, Tuesday, March 6th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in MSU's Laughlin Health Building. This is your opportunity to connect with employers looking to hire full-time and part-time employees, plus gain information on graduate schools. Contact the MSU Office of Career Services 783-2233 online at moreheadstate.edu/career.
Okay, continuing with a few community events, the Paramount Players will present the stage adaptation of George Orwell's novel 1984 at the Paramount Arts Center in Ashland. Performances are February 2nd and 3rd at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $20 for adults and $15 for students.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center is hosting a live storytelling showcase with forgotten-themed stories. The open mic format takes place at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, February 6th. The event is free and refreshments will be available.
Taking a second look at this week's forecast, tonight it looks pretty clear with a low of 42 degrees. Tomorrow we can expect some a.m. showers and a high of 47. Tomorrow night it can drop to a low of 17 degrees and some possible snow. Friday we're looking at a high of 26. It'll be cold but sunny. Friday night, it'll be clear with an overnight low of 16 degrees. Saturday, it'll be mostly cloudy with a high of 40. And Sunday, there'll be some possible rain and snow. It'll be around 40 degrees and a low of 24. Monday, it'll be cloudy with a high of 35. It's currently 53 degrees in Morehead.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Leanne Akers, Jacob Lindberg, Tilden Johnson, Braxton Howard, and Jack Cottle. From Hilliard Lyon, Bud Luke brought us the stock report, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's Ellen Barnett. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Arlo Barnett, WMKY News. All things considered from NPR is next. It's